You're listening to the NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network, part of Sports Illustrated, giving you daily NFL Draft, Dynasty, and Devy Fantasy Football podcasts.
Welcome into the Dynasty Draft Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. I'm your host, Anthony Carenti, joined by my co-hosts, Ryan Searfoss and Eric Adams. Boys, how are you doing today?
Probably not as good as Eric after this week.
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm doing good, I guess. My team didn't give up 40 points, so I'm happy. How did you guys do?
Next question.
Oh, pretty bad.
We'll talk Scott Fishbowl, where I'm sitting at 38 out of like 1,200 or however many there
Scott
are.
Scott Fishbowl's going good for the brand on this pod. Let me tell you right now.
Yeah, we love it. Well, on today's show, we're going to be discussing the dynasty storylines that we decided to monitor a couple months ago. So we'll check in on everything that we had brought up earlier before the season kicked off. Before we get into that, just a quick reminder that this is a daily podcast feed filled with analysts and experts providing unmatched insight into the NFL, college football, and fantasy football. We provide this feed totally ad-free, and all we ask in return is that you leave us a five-star rating and check out our written content over at si.com/NFL/draft. So if anybody had missed it last time we updated or before we introduced these storylines initially, we each had two storylines we decided we were going to monitor throughout the course of the 2021 NFL season. My two were the Raiders wide receivers and the Cardinals running backs. Ryan's was second-year wide receivers and Jalen Hurts and the Philly offense. And Eric had the Pats running backs and the Buccaneers offense. So we were discussing already a little bit before we started recording. I'll start by mentioning or kicking things off with the Raiders wide receivers. And like we had said, there's a lot of people out there that I think owe our man Henry Ruggs a little bit of an apology, because this guy still kind of gets left for dead. Like he's, you know, not doing anything or not really performing, but he's got almost 500 yards receiving on the season. He's on pace for over 1,100 yards, averaging almost 20 yards a catch. He's balling out a little bit on a team that likes to throw the ball a ton. He's fifth in the league in average target distance, 15th in air yards, 18th in receiving yards. He's putting up points on a pretty consistent basis. He's in the top 36 wide receivers in PPR. So it's not somebody that, you know, he's not a wide receiver one by any means, but I think he's proving that he can be a pretty consistent fantasy option, whether it's, you know, a flex play, wide receiver three, something like that. And I still think there's room for more. Like, I think this is still a very young wide receiver in his second year. And I love what I'm seeing from Henry Ruggs. And Bryan Edwards, even though, you know, he's, I think, falling a little bit behind Ruggs in the pecking order a little bit, he always shows up every time his number's called in a big situation. Like, he's been delivering for that team. So Waller's been a little banged up this past week. Hunter Renfrow has like the most Hunter Renfrow role on that team, where, you know, he's involved. He's got like 50 some targets on the year already. But Edwards and Ruggs, I think, are stepping up in a pretty big way in year two.
Edwards is okay. He doesn't have as good of a stat line as Renfrow, but that's neither here nor there. about the apology thing, I owe Henry Ruggs an apology, and I owe Derek Carr an apology. I had Derek Carr as QB20 in my rankings. That's just slanderous. I won't do that again. And didn't have Henry Ruggs in my top 36. I owe him an apology. This looks good. And mid-year two, Henry Ruggs looks good. That's good. Building block receiver.
I feel like we liked Ruggs, but we didn't have the confidence in this offense to rank him there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
I wasn't the player at all. But I will say Hunter Renfrow, just like we predicted, is their most fantasy points out of the receivers. He's having the quietest wide receiver 29 season I've ever seen.
I love it. Like not even a peep.
Like, not even a peep about him. He's 29. Henry Ruggs is 31. And we got 55 down there for Bryan Edwards.
When I said the Hunter Renfrow would lead their team in receiving thing, I was like only kind of half kidding. And then I thought about it. I'm like, oh, God, I'm not kidding.
Yeah, like I thought it'd be targets and not yards, but some of these people can't tackle him either.
And he can tackle.
And he can tackle.
I mean, complete skill set.
Hunter Renfro with the body that 12-year-old boys out here just balling. And it's phenomenal.
He's out there laying wood. Put him in the secondary.
Yeah. Watch him go. Yeah, absolutely. Well,
also, real quick before we move on here, don't they have another tight end that's really good too? We're missing out here. Foster Moreau. Foster Moreau's a good player.
Yeah. Foster Moreau stepped right up when Waller was out.
Yeah, he should probably be on a team starting somewhere and not backing up Darren Waller. Yeah. Watch out for him to trade in the offseason. He actually might be a good buy low candidate right now.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all. Actually, with how kind of
search from a free agency is probably not picked up.
Yeah,
even in dynasty,
there's probably a lot of leagues where he's floating around out there.
Good point.
He's in that weird area of where he's still super young, but we don't consider him young, so he's available.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on the Raiders, you're like 28 years old at least.
True.
All right, let's roll it right from Raiders wide receivers into the rest of the second year wide receivers. Ryan, what do we got going on here with the rest of these guys?
I want to start about this receiving group to say how excited I am for Jerry Jeudy to come back this week.
Oh, baby.
Like, we wanted Jerry Jeudy to be a thing so bad this year, and the injury bug hit, and now he's finally come back. I'm stoked about it.
He's coming back.
Surprise! Honestly? I think they're underperforming a little bit for these receivers. Like, Justin Jefferson's been good, but he hasn't been full on Justin Jefferson, what we're used to seeing. He's down at wide receiver 14. CeeDee Lamb's right behind him at 15. We kind of mentioned the Raiders guys. Pittman's actually really moving up. He's out of wide receiver 20. So, like, they're all doing really well. It's just not right where we wanted them in that top end yet. But fully think Jefferson started a little slow and is coming back. And Dallas's offense is, I don't know, still trying to figure out who they are.
How well is Jalen Reagor doing?
I don't want to talk about it, dude.
Oh, he's part of the second-year wide receivers. I think we have to.
Yeah, I know. If we can just put him in with the rest who are just playing terrible.
Brandon is it Ayuk? A quarterback problem, or is it a wide receiver problem? Or is it an Eagles problem?
If Let's we don't want to talk Jalen Reagor, we can lump him in with the Jalen Hurts part of the
put him with the Eagles part. But like, Brandon Ayuk is just non-existent.
There's people talking about like real life trading Brandon Ayuk right now, and I'm like, I don't think we're going to do that after the rookie season that he had and the fact that he's a first-round pick. I don't think giving up on him in year two is a wise move.
No.
But then again, San Francisco's having a weird year. So
out of those receivers, one who's kind of underperforming, I don't know if it's like panic button time or because he's just completely overshadowed now, is T. Higgins. Like, he had a really big week this week. He got targeted a dozen 15 times. Targets. Yeah. But he's obviously the wide receiver two in that offense now.
Yeah.
What's his ceiling cap at? Like, is he a wide receiver two? Can we get two wide receiver ones out of this offense where you're confident with it?
I think that he, like with Burrow, I think it's a situation where not this year, but, you know, next year or in a year down the road from, you know, a couple of years down the road from now, I can see a situation play out where him and Chase, you know, both finish inside the top 12, or like one finishes inside the top 12 and one's like a high end or like mid wide receiver two. But I feel better about valuing Higgins as a wide receiver two, where I thought in the off season and down the stretch last season, before we knew, you know, Chase would be coming to town, that he was somebody that could flirt with, you know, wide receiver one value. But I think he's somebody that, if he's like my third receiver, I feel really good about it.
Yeah,
but if he's my wide receiver two, I probably would try and upgrade with something. I try and make a move to upgrade to kind of solidify that a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like we expect the Chase to be good, but not this.
Yeah,
like where he just forces everything to him.
And then he's looked incredible.
Do we think? I know you mentioned Reagor, and you said, is it a coaching thing or whatever? Is it also LaVisca Chenault in there where the situation is just ruined him and everybody who sniffs around that entire offense?
Yeah. I mean, with Visca, the few times that I've gotten to watch the Jaguars, the talent's there. Like, he looks like a good player when they play. But yeah, it's the stench of the Jaguars. It doesn't feel good.
It does not. You know, outside of performing on that rookie's Chase Claypool. Like, yeah. His season high in any game is 59 yards so far. He's been in one touchdown. He's a non-factor right now in fantasy. We're all so wrong on that. But again, situation.
All right. So those say out of those last three, Claypool, Ayuk, Visca, who do you want the most moving forward?
What Claypool?
If you can guarantee me that Urban Meyer is not the coach of the Jaguars, Visca. Unfortunately, you can't do that. So Claypool. I'll take my chances with whatever fair. The Steelers have coming.
Would you rather have Brandon Ayuk or a 2022 second round pick?
Second round pick.
I'll keep Ayuk because I have faith in Lance and the Shanna plan going forward.
Shanna plan. I like that.
I feel like it'll get figured out.
I'm losing faith in Shanahan.
I think he's a little overrated. I think he's a lot overrated.
I think that's fair. I think he gets a lot of rope.
Yeah, I think people have been nut hugging him a little bit too much, and you shouldn't hug his nuts that much. He's a good coordinator. He's not a great head coach. I feel like that's where we're headed.
All right, Eric, you want to start with Pat's running backs or Bucks offense?
Pat's running backs, baby. After that week, hell yeah, Pat's running. No.
I don't know what you could be talking about.
Ryan,
what did I do?
Ryan, I'm about to talk about Damian Harris. No F bombs. Okay.
Yeah,
because I love Damian Harris.
Eric, I did not. Ryan, I did not add a censor button to the soundboard, so I can't live censor
you. Can't you do all the sound effects?
Yeah,
we're gonna have to add that one. There you go. There you go. But, other than Damian Harris, Damian Harris, I feel like has been what we've been advertising since the summer. Like, he's been a good player. And we said if he's going in, the fifth to seventh round in that range, he's a good pick. He has been a good pick. He's a good running back. He's on a team that seems to be figuring out on the offensive line. I think that's the biggest thing right now. I want to spend more time talking about Ramondre Stevenson, J.J. Taylor, and Brandon Bolden. Yes, Brandon Bolden. I really just said that. Stevenson was a healthy inactive on Sunday, and J.J. Taylor got the burn, and he scored a touchdown. Actually, I think he might have scored two. But they're going to be switching off week after week going forward. So to the people who really want Ramondre Stevenson to be the consistent thing, you got to have a little patience right now. He's a good player. He's clearly got a role on the team and they like him, and his fumbling didn't, curse him to Hades with Belichick. So that's good. But this is going to be a week to week thing. Yvonne Fears, the Patriots running back coach, said, however they're performing in practice, that's who gets the nod on Sundays. So whoever has the better week of practice, that's who's up between Stevenson and Taylor. And it's not like there's much behind them. But what is behind them, Brandon Bolden, let me just say something right now. If you need somebody in the James White role, Brandon Bolden is doing more than that at the moment. He is just catching everything they're throwing at him. Mac, everyone likes calling him the check down king. Well, the check downs are going to Brandon Bolden, and it has been working decently well. So I'm not saying Brandon Bolden RB2 territory. I'm just saying if you need a flex in a pinch, I like Brandon Bolden going forward. That's all I'm saying.
When the F did he become a receiving back?
Seriously, that's what I was wondering too. He looks good.
2013. Wow, he's been around for a long freaking time.
Been around for a long time.
I also
2013 he had 29 targets. 2015 he had 30 targets and 4, 4, 3, 11. Now 22 this year.
Yep.
Where did this come from?
He can do it, but we haven't needed him to do it.
When you teach an old dog new tricks at age 31 in the NFL, I just don't get it.
He's what we call a jack of all trades. He will play special teams. He can pass protect. He can not run the football at all. He's a terrible running back. I'll give you that right now. He has 10 carries for 28 yards. I'm not exaggerating that. He's bad. When he gets handed the ball, I literally want to pop my head off and throw it in a well. It's so bad. But you can catch. He can catch.
That's how I feel about Le'Veon Bell now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sad. We're comparing Le'Veon Bell to Brandon Bolden.
Yeah, it is a sad world we live in.
that's where we're at with the Patriots running backs. Damien Harris.
He's
trade
really
for him
wanna,
and be happy.
Yeah.
He's the one I really want to own in Dynasty.
Yep.
If I'm in a deep league, honestly, I'd probably lean J.J. Taylor.
Really? Over Stevenson?
I could see his role moving forward. I know he hasn't got it because Brandon Bolden's become a pass-catching god, but he's a good pass catcher, and he fits what we saw in that James White role for a long time.
He is different than Harris, Stevenson, and Bolden. Mm-hmm. He is quicker and probably faster. So.
And that's how you get a role, man. That's why I'd kind of lean towards him instead of a 230-pound running back who can average. You need 3 yards, it gets you four. You need 5 yards, it gets you four. Like, that's where I think Stevenson is. But so I'd rather Taylor because of that burst, that big play potential, and maybe an expanded world in the offense in 2 to 3 years.
That's fair. It's a fair thought.
I'm definitely on rostering Stevenson. I'm definitely still in on holding him in Dynasty. I like rostering J.J. Taylor, too. And I totally agree that I think you can do much worse than, a bye-week fill-in in a flex spot than Brandon Bolden since he's getting so much of that passing work there. Yep. But – yeah, I'm definitely still holding Stevenson wherever I drafted him because I don't know. I really wasn't planning on getting a ton out of him this year anyway, but I think he's still got a chance to carve out a bigger role next season. So,
I agree.
But yeah, it's an interesting group for sure. Keep it with running backs. The Cardinals running backs was the other storyline I had here, and they've all been better than I expected. In different ways, but also kind of the ways I expected them to. Chase Edmonds is doing it on the back of efficiency and having the receiving work, but never being able to get into the end zone. And James Conner's got six touchdowns on the season. So I think James Conner's averaging just under 4 yards a carry. Edmonds is over five and has, I think close to 200 yards receiving, but they're both RB2s. They're both inside the top 24 in PPR. The offense is great. They've got an MVP caliber quarterback. It's going to be a weird situation this year, but as much as they've both kind of performed at times for fantasy this year, it still feels like a team to me that screams drafting a running back next year or thinking they're that one piece away. If we draft this running back, that puts us over the top with this offense. And I don't know if any running back sneaks into round one next year, but I don't know if it's in round two they make a move for, Isaiah Spiller or Breece Hall or one of those guys. But
is Bijan Robinson draft eligible next year?
No, 2023.
God, can you imagine him?
He would be electric in this offense.
That would be fun to watch.
So that's the other weird thing too is they feel in my head I'm they feel like a team that would want to invest that draft capital at running back next year, but 2022 doesn't look as good as 2023 will look at running back. So
that's a dangerous game to play.
It is a dangerous game to play. And that's why I think push come to shove, they see a guy like Isaiah Spiller or Breece Hall and think, okay, this could be our guy. Maybe it doesn't have to be a two-man, platoon where we give Connor the work at the goal line and Chase Edmonds can run the ball a little bit, catch the ball a little bit. Maybe they think they get a guy that can do both, but they have both been better for fantasy purposes than I expected so far this year.
Yeah, I mean, fantasy purposes this year, I know they're both RB2s, but I'm comfortable starting both as RB3s. And I'm leaning more towards a little more comfortable with James Conner just because of those red zone looks he's getting because Arizona lives in the red zone. All they're doing is scoring touchdowns constantly, and he's benefited from it. It fits well. So I'm leaning towards him, but if I have either on my team, I'm comfortable starting them if I have to as RB2 at flex.
I agree with that. Anytime you got a stat line like Chase Edmonds that looks good in the yardage department, but he has no touchdowns, that's not great. So I will take the guy with the touchdowns.
Yeah. And I know people, like, people were full blown in on fade James Conner, like, at all costs in the off season.
I was that guy. I'll admit it.
I knew it was never going to feel good, but the Cardinals consistently just tried to run Kenyon Drake in the A gap at the goal line last year. Like, if Conner can't do anything else, he can run the ball up the middle at the goal line.
That's what he does. He's great at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's always talking about the Patriots backs.
Let's talk Jalen Hurts.
I think Eric should start. I want to bring some positivity at the end because I just know you're bringing hate.
Oh, positivity!
And I know Anthony's gonna bring hate. And
yeah, we're gonna pile on.
You're gonna pile on. And I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna come in with no feedback afterwards. Because I'm gonna come in afterwards because
All right.
Check. Okay. We're
21 minutes. See you then. Why do I have to start with your topic? I don't feel like that's correct at all.
Because I want to end with positivity, not negativity.
All right. Look, the thing with Hurts, man, is like it hasn't changed. My tune has not changed. Like, he can rack up the points in garbage time, and he's QB2 on the year, and that feels nice. And the Eagles have 3 top 10 picks right now, and I know the QB class looks crappy, but like it's not a sure thing that he starts in the NFL next season. We are a dynasty fantasy football podcast. Dynasty fantasy football, that means multiple years. I don't know if this guy's going to be starting next season. I just want people to understand that problem. That's a problem. That we call that a problem. He can be as good as you want him to be this year. I don't feel good about it going forward. I'd be trying to, if I had him on my team, I'd be trying to trade him every single day until I do.
Same.
That's it.
Ditto. That's it.
So here's where I'm just being devil's advocate. He is in a terrible situation. They're on a team that we saw 3 runs in a game out of their running backs.
Yep.
They have Miles Sanders, who is their most talented offensive weapon, and they refuse to use him. And now he's hurt. Gainwell's been cool and all, but the wide receivers are ranked in target separation for all the quarterbacks 33rd as a team. So when Jalen Hurts has had 33rd,
hold on,
it's rated by quarterback.
Okay.
So, like, any quarterback who's been in started and had a situation. So, essentially, somebody took over halfway through. But Jalen Hurts' receivers are getting open less than 32 other quarterbacks in the league, which is absurd. He's not getting as much time. They're dropping balls. And it's not a good – and the offensive play calls, literally, if you're guarding them on defense, they're saying, okay, they're not going to run the ball. So, you watch the quarterback in case he scrambles, and everybody else just span up and double cover people. Like, that's it. They're an absolute mess of a team. And if you send a new rookie quarterback in next year, they're going to be in a terrible situation, even if you add 2 more first-round picks. Like, it's not that big of a different situation. But if you add talent this year, see what Hurts can do in the right situation. And then if he doesn't work, that's 3 years down the line. And I'm cool with waiting there. But he's got to be their quarterback next year. He's not doing that terrible. He's not that team's biggest issue. You know, they need a defense and coaching and a bunch of other stuff. They're not a good team.
I don't feel good about he's a fine fantasy football quarterback. Like, he's going to be great for fantasy purposes for this year. But I also lean on the side of, I don't think it's a sure thing at all if he keeps that job in Philly. I think they're a team that, like it or not, like, I think they didn't invest early draft, like, you know, I shouldn't say early draft capital. It was a day 2 pick, but it wasn't first round draft capital. It's not like the money is going to prevent them from doing it. And they're going to have a ton of draft capital if there's a guy that they fall in love with, rightfully or wrongfully.
Right now, who are you more comfortable with? Matt Corral or Corral or Hurts?
I haven't watched Corral enough to speak on him, to be honest.
Carson Strong or Hurts? It's an easy Carson
Strong. By a long mile.
Yeah.
Or Kenny Pickett.
Pass.
I haven't watched Kenny Pickett enough either.
Yeah, I need to watch.
I haven't watched a lot of. I haven't watched a lot of the quarterbacks in depth yet.
Carson Strong.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was going to say Carson Strong or Hurts. It's definitely an easy strong Carson Strong for me. Matt Corral, it's a little bit closer, but I don't know. I like what I've seen out of Corral so far. I think that it could end up being Matt Corral.
So somebody trades up to that one spot, takes Corral.
Corral's not going number one. Kayvon Thibodeau, it's a lock. I'm telling you right now. Kayvon Thibodeau is going to be the number one overall pick.
Yeah, it certainly feels like that.
And these guys coming in and be like, oh, he's that much better than Jalen Hurts right now.
The Detroit Lions are going to take Kayvon Thibodeau first overall. Congrats.
Detroit Lions need a quarterback more than anything.
I think they're going to stick it out with Goff one more year.
Jared Goff going to hang around.
They got multiple first round picks in the next like two drafts.
So we're comfortable with Jared Goff, but not Jalen Hurts. Okay, got it. Okay, I'm done today.
The Lions are going to stink. The Philadelphia Eagles are going to stink too, but I mean, they got a lot of draft picks. Who knows, man? The Lions are going to have the first overall pick. The Eagles are going to have like, you know, like 3, 7, and 10. We'll see what that gets.
You can really bolster that surrounding cast.
Yeah. Is it the surrounding cast? I thought Jalen Reagor was supposed to be good. I thought Devontae Smith was supposed to be good. What happened?
Devontae Smith's been all right. Like he's
fine.
Yeah.
I don't want to. You guys alluded to it. Sirianni, he stinks.
He stinks out loud.
He really does.
He's probably the second worst coach in football.
Yeah, he's terrible. He does not have a clue.
This is plain vanilla bean offense like, they're playing right now.
You can have an offense that works for Jalen Reagor or Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
You really can. And he just refuses to do it. It's absolutely stupid.
My biggest death knell, and we can move on after this. My biggest death knell with Jalen Hurts, this is the problem. This has nothing to do with fantasy football. If you're committing to him as your quarterback, your starting quarterback, you are likely telling yourself, we're not winning the Super Bowl. That's the biggest insult, I guess, I can give to a starting quarterback.
I mean, that's pretty bad.
It is pretty bad. So that's how I feel about Jalen Hurts.
All right, well, let's wrap it up, Eric, with the Bucs offense. Well, there's a lot of good there, huh?
Yeah, I wanted to start it off with this. How do we feel about Leonard Fournette right now? Where are we on Leonard Fournette?
Long term or rest of season?
Oh, I want long term. I'm bringing the debate up right now. How do we feel about Leonard Fournette? Where is he in fantasy football? He's got to be at least an RB2.
Oh, he must be.
He's 10.
He's RB10. How do we feel about Leonard Fournette right now?
I think for me, as long as Brady's there and as long as this offense, I probably value him like a mid-range RB2.
Okay, so for the next 10 years, you feel good about Leonard Fournette. Yeah. That's good.
Leonard Fournette's already 42, so you know he's already defied age. So
yeah, he fits in with the whole beating all the time thing.
Leonard Fournette is
look on Ryan's face. Right now.
I wish we could see it. Younger than Derrick Henry.
Yep.
Same age as Alvin Kamara, same age as Zeke, same age as Nick Chubb, younger than Aaron Jones.
Have we slipped into a black hole?
I don't understand. Like Leonard Fournette feels so old, and we act like he's the oldest running back in the world. Dude, he's only 2 years older, or 3 years older than Najee Harris. Like Leonard Fournette.
Ronald Jones is an afterthought. Ronald Jones doesn't matter. Leonard Fournette took over that backfield.
He like returned to what he was, and he's a good running back. I think we forgot. I really feel like everybody just forgot.
The Jaguars took a dumpster full of crap, and they just like lifted it and put it on Leonard Fournette, and now he's just covered in crap. That's basically how people looked at Leonard Fournette. He's a pretty good. He's a pretty good player.
We should have saw playoff running last year.
He's covered in crap. Yeah, that's so true.
He just shook it all off now, and he's
and he's back to being Leonard Fournette.
He's back. He is.
I turned down a trade for him like 3 weeks ago, and I really regret it. Like in Dynasty, like I kind of want him to buy cheap because everybody thinks he's old.
I would start sending offers for Leonard Fournette. That's where I'm at.
I traded for him on a contender, and I feel good about it.
Yes, sir. I know it's only a one-year deal with him, too, but I don't see him leaving. Like, I think they got a good thing going right now. I think if I'm Leonard Fournette, I'm like, I was just in Jacksonville. You think I'm going to leave this?
I'm not going back to the crap dumpster.
I ain't going back there. No, sir. You could pay me $50 million. I'm not doing that. I'm not Le'Veon Bell.
13 of the top 24 running backs are either his age or older. Whew.
That's crazy.
He's a young man. He's younger than me.
He looks so old, though. That's because of the bald head and beard.
Yeah. Yeah, it really makes him look older.
He's good, and I think we just haven't realized it. And kind of what we talked about with James Conner, but on a much souped-up scale because it's packed with talent, he's getting a ton of red zone looks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, and you're not going to stop Leonard Fournette that close, especially when you're terrified of Mike Evans in the red zone.
And he's going to have at least – he'll probably have at least 55, 60 catches this year. I see a borderline RB1 going forward right now.
That might be an RB1.
Yeah, that's crazy. Weird.
On the what is likely the most dominant offense in the league.
Yeah, it's incredible. It really is.
Just saying. All right, with everyone else, I mean, when Godwin, Brown, and Evans are on the field, they're all startable. They're all startable. Gronk should be back this weekend, apparently. If not this weekend, it'll be next weekend. I know the tight ends have been eh. This was supposed to be an O.J. Howard showcase. It hasn't been an O.J. Howard showcase.
Mm-mm.
We need to trade. They need to trade O.J. Howard. It's time.
Yeah, like, it's over.
Let's get him to a new team.
He might be older than Leonard Fournette, too. I'll leave that for all
could, he might be.
He's 27. He's older than Leonard Fournette.
But his breakout's still coming. It's fine.
the only guy younger than Leonard Fournette is Tom Brady. But
yeah,
he's going to be around at least a decade past him.
Yeah,
but if you're looking at just receiving yards, we're looking at 13, 19, and 28 for Godwin, Evans, Brown in that order. Yep. That's really impressive, man. They're all over 400 yards.
They're all top 24 options in PPR right now.
418 to 520.
That's with Brown missing games.
Yeah, they're just good. The offense is good. Tom Brady's good. Like, it's everything it should have been. Like, they're a tough team to stop.
All right, Evans is the guy that's highest right now. I think he's wide receiver 7. You think it stays that way the rest of the season? He finishes as the top option?
With how much he's funneling targets to him? Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, he's a monster, especially in the red zone. He just catches touchdowns.
Yep. He has 7 already. He's going to have 15 touchdowns this year.
Yeah. One day, the entire fantasy football community is going to realize, oh, shit, Mike Evans was good that entire time. He only gets 1,000 seasons.
I hate that that's actually a thing. Yeah, is Mike Evans a good wide receiver?
Dude, yeah.
I would kill to have him on my team. Like, what are you talking about?
So this is his 8th year in the league. And through his first 7, he's had 1,000 yards. All of them. He's had over, in those 7 years, over 8 touchdowns in 5 of them. Like,
that's all
he's not even just good, he's elite.
Yeah.
He's elite. Like, these aren't. Like last year, 1,006 yards and 13 touchdowns. Why do we not act like that's good?
I don't know, Ryan. You tell me.
I love Mike Evans, man.
We could pull the pots. We could pull the pots here.
I wasn't as high fantasy-wise, but I was still high. I just didn't have him as a wide receiver 1, which I should have.
That's fair.
Actually, I shouldn't have. My process is my process. I don't know.
But yeah, stick to your guns.
I'm sticking my guns, but dude, he's good. We overthunk it.
Sometimes that'll happen.
Sure.
All right. Well, that'll do it. So thank you all for listening to this episode of the Dynasty Draft Room presented by Sports Illustrated's NFL Draft Bible Podcast Network. We'll be back with more of the Dynasty Draft Room next week, but be sure to tune in tomorrow to hear from our friends on the Blitz for all of your college fantasy football needs. And we'll be back and talk to you guys next week.
Later, taters.